So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Dave Williams, CEO of Missouri River Resources.
Missouri River Resources. All right, let's start out by talking about what's going on with your company, just kind of a 2016 review and a 2017 projection, if you would.
Well, 2016 review, I pretty much can say is the survival of the fittest. You know, you just, I think we, you know, being a small company, we have a little advantage of, you know, having just one debtor and, you know, just paying our bills as we, you know, make as much production as we can. You know, keeping it slim, you know, I had to lay off a few people. I mean, that's part of the game, part of the business, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, we also rely on the fact that oil is a commodity, and it's influenced by global forces, so we're trying to be as optimistic as we can. I believe we'll have an advantage, maybe. I say maybe, but, you know, with the new president, but at the same time, Saudi Arabia and OPEC and, you know, even non-OPEC countries cut back on production. We can, I think the word for the year was rebalancing. You know, I'm reading a lot of articles, you know, where people can function maybe at $65 to $70 a barrel without getting too high or getting too low. So I think the earth or the globe, so to speak, and all of the economics that entail that with oil and gas can come to an agreement that, you know, this price scale, you know, from 65 to 70 would be beneficial for all. So hopefully that'll keep up as anticipated. So having said all that, 2017, you know, we again, you know, I think we're still on the same focus of really drilling. We've acquired lands in the past year and a half that brought us to a project that we want to drill 23 wells in a few sections down on the reservation. So we're pretty happy about that. Our lender, our bank, seems very optimistic about moving forward. So all this does take time. You know, a year ago, February, you know, oil was in the 20s, so we couldn't find a bank to, you know, probably borrow us, you know, even $200,000 because of the way things were happening. So now that we're here a year later, we're pretty fortunate to, again, be still viable and moving forward and keeping our experts and keeping our staff and the tribe understanding that you know, that they realize, you know, that price reduction hurt their royalties, and, you know, and the state and the tribe, you know, again, finding to create a budget that works for everyone. I wouldn't want that job, but, you know, in a sense, that's what we do on a small scale.
So you mentioned additional steps you've got to go through with the BLM and with BIA and just some of those federal lands and reservations and that sort of thing. Is that are you hearing from any other tribes across the country? Are they starting to do some of the things that you guys are doing? I know in the past you've mentioned Utah. The Utes have gotten some mineral interests and rights and that sort of thing. Is there anything along those lines with other tribes that you guys are either teaching or collaborating with?
When I first started, reached out to the Southern Utes. They've pretty much streamlined their process to where they're just doing it on their own. I think they've limited the BIA, so to speak. I'm not quite sure of that, but that's always been the word there that they make their own decisions on their own land. The BIA still has, the federal government still has the fiduciary responsibility. Until we 638 everything or, take it upon ourselves to regulate, we're still in that, under that umbrella. So, we've talked to other reservations, and it's the same. It really, it's always different, the circumstances, but the process of, getting permits to drill or air quality permits to maybe create a refinery or, permits to do coal, natural gas. It's still the same all over, as long as the federal government's under the auspices of, the fiduciary responsibility that they have. So, our governments change every 2 to 4 years, and sometimes it's hard to pass that baton on what somebody wants to do and what somebody, just like America, you have a president that worked 8 years, and then the next president comes in and says, well, I'm going to repeal everything that you've done. I mean, we've encountered the same thing. So, boy, it's tough. Again, I'm going on 10 years here back, and trying to not reinvent the wheel, but create some sort of nation building. So where that we have a shared vision on the reservation that we want to do the same thing to help everybody. With leadership changing and government changing, there's a lot of moving parts and. But if we all have that shared vision, and I think leadership has to really voice that we can, work together and as a nation or as Indian country. If we're refining and selling gas and natural gas, to a reservation in Oklahoma or Nebraska or wherever, that's part of the whole big picture, I think, for Indian country. So, I'm still trying. I still create relationships off the reservation. We have, culminated a great effort in workforce development, into the class. Educating our own people to get degrees in oil and gas. Working with the Petroleum Council, and getting scholarships for Native Americans to enter into the field. So we've accomplished a lot, is it over? By no means, it's still a struggle and a sacrifice to really get from point A to point B and where we want to be. But it takes time. It took the Southern Utes, almost 20 years. So, but I think if we have that mentality, the long-term vision, and just keep that kind of fire burning, we'll be all right.
David Williams, CEO of Missouri River Resources, just a couple minutes left with him. And how's the reservation doing overall? How's the tribe doing overall? I know that so much opportunity came from $100 oil, $70 oil. Now that it's, $20, $30, $40, $50 kind of hovering around there, Are you seeing anybody closing up shops that maybe opened up during the boom? Are you seeing people get creative on how they're doing things? Just kind of how's everybody rebalancing and streamlining maybe midstream partners that you have, or even just your local community, because oil and gas can create such an economic infrastructure, or I mean an ecosystem, that when the oil prices go down, it suffers. It has that ripple. It's like a reverse ripple that goes through there. So with that being said, just kind of an update from Newtown and the reservation.
Well, again, Jason, I obviously can't speak for everyone, but I can just out of observation, a lot of smaller oil companies, even a few bigger ones, have filed for bankruptcy. So, I mean, even the big, people with a lot of employees laying a lot of people off, even Halliburton and other large oil companies, but even the smaller ones, depending what that monthly payment is to your debt is very important. But even the businesses, if your hotels are running short, what do you do? You have to lower your prices now, and so it was a struggle. And if you could just hang in there, I think that was the word for 2016, or the phrase. And as they get up towards $55-$60 a barrel, you can start, as rigs came back, you can see where rigs are actually coming back, and people, doing the frack jobs that were, the wells that weren't already fracked. They were drilled but not fracked, the ducks, so to speak. And so we see that type of activity, and so the communities are going, okay, we see some sort of positiveness. We see some sort of movement, knowing that the whole rebalancing thing. It can't stay at $25 a barrel for a long time, and everybody's still functioning. But you just make what you do, make do what you can, I guess I call it survival. And if you're in the business and in it for the long term, you think that way. But if you were in there for the quick fix and going, oh my God, it's $100 a barrel, and I need to do this and I need to do that, and then all of a sudden you find yourself, with way too much equipment or supplies and all of that, and then it's just sitting there. That was tough, and maybe you had to sell some assets to survive. So, but again, if it gets up to 60, I think you'll see you see that surge back. Read a couple articles. Just be careful. I mean, if it gets to 60, then we start, kind of drill her up again, or really, create a surge. There might be a little rebound effect. Again, I don't have a crystal ball, but who's to say that we oversupply ourselves again? And I don't know. There's going to be a lot depending on the Trump administration.
Any final thoughts you might have about just kind of where Missouri River Resources and the direction that you see the company heading?
Well, we're right now, again, it's creating more production. More production means more revenue for the tribe. And, we're the tribal oil company. I mean, by drilling our own oil and investing, we get 100% of those returns. If we decide not to drill and we decide not to, just maybe take the royalty, that's only 18%. So, I mean, who gets the other 82? I guess that's been my argument when I tried to originally start the company. But, it takes money to make money. So we're very careful on how we spend it and make sure our economics are there. You could punch a hole in the ground, but that doesn't mean you're going to make money if you're, if the oil price and the price of the operation doesn't equal out in the long run. People can drill all they want, but if they're not making money, that's not a good thing for anybody. So I think in the long run, we do want to create equity for the tribe, for the people, I've always called this the people's company, and we've got a plan to drill another 125 wells. But if we throw in there, you know, cost per barrel, and what it does, what it takes to get it out, and what it takes to move it, you know, all of those got to come out to where we're positive cash flow. So, and that's, you know, I got a lot of experts that work for me, and that's, I leave that up to them to determine, you know, where we punch and where we send our oil. So, you know, I there's anything to add. It's just hopefully we can create some type of better economics on our transportation. I don't want to truck oil forever, and I don't want to, you know, have it go on the rail system, you know, all over the United States. If we can pipe it, that'd be great. But, you know, there's a lot of situations going on, you know, about pipeline, and I'm not going to comment on those, but, you know, I think if anybody looks at a map, you know, down by the Gulf of Mexico, does a pipeline map all over the United States, I mean, that's the best mode of transportation. And the sad part is when industry neglects that safety issue and overlooks their building of pipelines, then we all suffer. Just like anybody in any profession, you know, if you pave roads and you do a bad job of paving and you mixing your asphalt, well, people have to redo that. So I think industry has to step up and, you know, be very responsible, you know, corporate social responsibility. You know, we've got to take care of what we do as a profession to make sure that people are safe. I don't care if you're on a reservation or off a reservation. You know, if you're going to do something that's going to impact people's lives, don't take it lighthearted. That's what I got to say on that.
That holds us laughing. And here's to the sound of one hand clapping. And here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.